The power of life within you is a spiritual power, able to bring you permanent peace, increasing happiness and joy, and a greater material abundance. These things that have made man miserable can be eliminated through the conscious use of this power. God could not visit fear or hate or impoverishment upon us, because God transcends all of these things. The world needs a new concept of God. A new idea must be born in the minds of people everywhere about the nature of God and the relationship to this divine creative spirit. The only thing that can bring joy, love, peace, and prosperity to the world is a direct experience with the invisible. We must sense the immediate presence of life. With simplicity and directness, we must sense that the Spirit is at the center of our own lives. We must learn to recognize that it is at the center of all people and working in human affairs. While it is true that the power of God is always within us, it is not true that we have always realized its presence. To realize this is to be able to make conscious use of it, to direct it for ourselves and for others. I rely on my inner power to work within me the creating of the kind of life I deeply desire. I know that within myself I can find the guidance I seek and the strength I need. With love in my heart, knowing I am unbound and unlimited, I accept myself as a happy, healthy, strong, and successful person right here.
So as always, when I step up to speak on a topic, I get to have lots of experiences about what that topic means to me in my life. And faith is a really interesting thing. The first kinds of things that came to me, one was seeing Maya Angelou on Oprah's network at the master class talking about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And there's a huge theme about faith in the invisible, faith in God, faith in that which is unseen. And I thought about that, and I thought about perhaps bringing the what we believe statement from Science of Mind, where it talks about where Ernest Holmes talked about what the basis of the Science of Mind philosophy was and what we believe in Science of Mind. But then as I went through the months, again and again what came back to me was that Science of Mind isn't about teaching you a religion that you have to live by. What Ernest Holmes did was synthesize the truth he found in every religion he studied. He studied all of the holy books of all of the major religions and many different philosophers and teachers, and he created a philosophy for himself that took those common things between them, the things that felt expansive to him, and wove them together into a new philosophy that was based in the other philosophies but came from his capacity to synthesize. And as I was reading through many of his books, I make indexes for myself in the front and back blank pages of his books, and I write down the quotes that really speak to me. And one of the ones that I refer to is he said, "I never speak as an encyclical. I never tell you what you have to believe, basically. I give you my opinion and I invite you to offer yours in return." And it reminded me of two things from my very first Science of Mind church. And Reverend Mary Ann Trefaro, who was the extraordinary mystical minister that I encountered in Denver 25 years ago now, that first introduced me to the details of Science of Mind. She was my first teacher and the first minister of the first church that I had belonged to since I was 15 years old. I had gone through a long period of atheism and agnosticism, and religion didn't make sense to me. I couldn't find my place in it. And then suddenly I found myself in the Science of Mind Church through a community study group that studied Louise Hay. And after about a year and a half of studying Louise Hay, someone said to me, well, if you like Louise Hay, you ought to check out Science of Mind, because that's what she teaches. And so I went to Mile High Church in Denver, and then decided to take Science of Mind 1, and which is what the Foundations class was called in those days. And that Mile High was about an hour from my house, and somebody said, there's a Science of Mind church 10 minutes from your house, and it has a great woman minister, and she's a fabulous teacher, and you'll have 20 people in your class instead of 200. I thought, well, that sounded good. And so I went to see Reverend Mary Ann that next Sunday. And there were two things about what she did at the service that first Sunday that blew me away, that made that my home for the next 5 years while I got my practitioner license and until I left Denver. Because she said, first thing she did was bless all paths, bless all churches, all study groups, all temples and synagogues and meadows and mountains where people connect with the divine within them, with other people or by themselves, that all paths are God. And that was my first introduction to an open faith that recognized that there was truth everywhere, and that respected that other people have found their own truth. And whether you agree with them or not, it is possible to respect where they come from and to know that basically God's bigger than any of us knows. We will never exhaust the infinite, and every path to explore the infinite is a valid path. That was the first thing. The second thing she said that just knocked me over was, the only one who can tell you what's true for you is you. She said, I'm not here up here to tell you what's true. You have to discern and decide for yourself what the truth is. And no one had ever said that to me before either. And I was powerfully reminded of those two messages this month, because I encountered a number of people from other religions who were very solid in their faith, some of whom thought that I ought to believe the way they believed, and some of whom were very open to listening to another path and respecting other paths and feeling the love that exists in various places. So I had a really awesome experience in the hot tub the other day. I was at a rec center.
What better place?
Absolutely. Very relaxed. And a man started querying me about my faith. And I thought that was really interesting. And he asked me if I was a Christian and if I believed in the literal Bible. And I, you know, I said, no, that wasn't my truth. And so he asked me a lot of questions about what I believed. And I said, I believe in the omnipresence of God and the omnipresence of love. And he said, you don't believe that you can know the truth, that from your human perspective, you can have any sense that you know what's true. And I said, yes, I do. In fact, that's exactly what I believe. And that's what my religion teaches. And he said, well, there's truth and there's that other thing. And you're studying the other thing. And I said, you know, I really, you know, feel that you have something powerful to share, but probably not with me. And I left him looking within myself for how I could bless his experience. And I was reminded of a story that many of you have probably heard by now, that one day I was writing and I was asking about a sentence from the religion of my childhood. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. And I discussed that with spirit within me, which I call the beloved, and came to an understanding for myself that I didn't need that particular sentence, that it wasn't true, that I receive all day, every day, and that it is given all day, every day, and as we ask, we are open to that receiving, and that we are worthy, we were born worthy. And what I was told was those who taught you that felt unworthy themselves. That's what they'd been taught, and they gave you the best that they knew. But if they feel unworthy, they can't teach you to feel worthy. You have to claim that for yourself. And I felt really satisfied with that conversation. I felt very relieved by that conversation. But at the very end of it, my mom, who's been dead, but not dead, for many years now, 4 or 5, came to me and she said, if you believe you are lost, the idea that you could be saved by a word is a healing balm. And she reminded me that every philosophy is a step up from somewhere, and that every teacher is lifting someone to the next level. And so that the teaching doesn't resonate for me doesn't mean it isn't true for somebody else, because the only one who can tell us what's true for us is us. And that knowing is valid for us. And if that philosophy warms someone else's heart and makes them feel loved and safe and saved, then it's a beautiful philosophy. And it's in its perfect place. And that I don't have to push against it. I can respect it and appreciate it and bless all of the paths. And then be sure of my own. So what is it that I believe? What is true for me? And so I explored Ernest. There's a concordance to the science of mind that takes many of the words within the science of mind and refers you to the pages of the textbook that where he discusses various things. And I spent a long time with the concordance this month looking up belief and faith and revelation. And he said, while I believe in other men's revelations, I am sure only of my own. And how do we get to that? You know, what is it in science of mind that allows us to believe that we can know? That allows us to take responsibility for our own experience at that level. Not to look outside ourselves for the truth of our faith and what we need to believe and with someone else's witness, but to witness for ourselves what life is. And the reading that David did about forming a new concept of God and moving beyond separation, song that Dan wrote and that he and Aaron sang are about the separation is an illusion. There is no bridge. There is no wall. There is no gate. That's omnipresence. If God truly is omnipresent, then this is what Ernest said, and I was about to say very much the same thing. If the spirit is omnipresent and undivided, it is at the very center of our being, and each one of us is a unique representative of the omnipresent one. One mind, one heart, one life, one God, that life, that love, that being is my being. And that mind is my mind individualized as me. That knowing exists within me. And in any one moment, I am not tapped into the omniscience of God. And I will never, from my physical perspective, know it all. But I personally believe that I can know anything if I ask specifically enough and listen carefully enough. That there is that within me that knows, that is connected to that infinite knowing. And as I ask, it is always returned to me in fullness. And so, how do I get there from here? Ernest said in the Science of Mind textbook, there is one limitless life which returns to the thinker exactly what he thinks into it. One, 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 in all, over all, and through all. Talk, live, act, believe, and know that you are a center in this one. All the power there is, all the presence there is, all the love there is, all the peace there is, all the good there is, and the only God there is omnipresent. Consequently, the infinite is in and through man, and is in and through everything. And he said in Ideas of Power, this is the very foundation of our philosophy. God is all there is. God is all there is. It's such a radical concept that everything we encounter, whether we judge it as bad or good, whether we see it as uplifting or supportive, whether we feel it as expansive or contractive, it's all God. But it's God through a filter of fear or seeing clearly that divine essence. Remember, I started my prayer this morning with the presence of God is always here, but our consciousness of that presence changes. The presence is a constant, but our awareness is what shifts. So we have the capacity to continue to bring ourselves back and back and back to that knowing of the truth, to that seeing of that presence, to the feeling of that power within us. And the presence, omnipresent, is never comes clearer to me than when I sign up to give a talk, because the whole of my life conspires to give me more information about that subject. And so I was sitting in my house one Friday night, and about 9:30 I answered the phone, and it was a person I'd never heard of before. And she was telling me that she really liked my website. Thank you, David. that she had found my website, and she found it inspiring, and that she really had been uplifted and supported by reading on my website. And we ended up having a long conversation on the phone. And she said, I didn't tell her I was speaking about faith. And she said, my favorite quote about faith is from Eric Butterworth. And I picked up my pen. Because I could hear that, you know, this random person who came into my life that I'd never heard of had something important to tell me. And really, she shifted the focus of this talk significantly with what she said. She said, Eric Butterworth said, faith is really your consent to let your own uniqueness unfold. Whew. It's huge. Faith is really your consent to let your own uniqueness unfold. It hit me the way it hit all of you. And there were two pieces of it that really got to me. First, that faith is a decision. It's giving consent, which is making a decision. It's not some airy-fairy belief. It's a choice. It's a place where we focus. And that hit me really powerfully, that it's within my power to choose faith, to give my consent. The other part was the unfolding of my own uniqueness. To trust in the unfolding. And it reminds me of a quote by Anna East Nin, which I thought I had written down here, but now I don't see it, but I did look it up. And basically what she said was, one day there comes a time when the risk to stay in a bud is more painful than the risk of allowing yourself to bloom. And that blooming, that blossoming, that unfolding of the truth of who we are implies that there is that within us that is already enfolded, that is the perfection of our being. And that is the divine nature of the truth of who we are. That is the omnipresence of God within us. We are here to allow the omnipresence of God to blossom as us, uniquely, powerfully, beautifully, and filled with love. Isn't that cool? I mean, that is, you know, as Ernest said, I believe in other men's revelations, but I experience only my own. I know the truth of my own. I'm sure of my own, but I can feel the truth in what Eric Butterworth said, and hearing the gasp of all of you hearing it, I felt that it wasn't just me that got it. Ernest said there is a spiritual perfection at the center of all things in the universe, and there is a fundamental good governing all things. There is one life, that life is God, that life is our life now. Consciously, we identify ourselves with it. Definitely, we affirm the one presence and the one power operating in, around, and through us. Anything that denies the supremacy of good is itself but a mistake in judgment. As we come to open up our thoughts to a greater acknowledgement and acceptance of the divinity that resides within us, we find ourselves on the pathway to achieving the purpose for which we were created, to express the nature of the divine, the source of our being. It's so powerful to think about, why am I here? Who am I? What is the self that I am uniquely here to express? And know thyself is the foundation of much philosophy. Know thyself, but what is there to know? And are we approaching the self with fear or with faith? With making the decision that we consent to the infinite goodness within us? Or fearing that there is something within us that is flawed, that is going to be expressed. And there are religions that teach you that you're fundamentally flawed. You know, yeah.
Yeah, God-fearing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's pain in that. And if you are fearful, one of the things my guide said is that if you're fearful, don't talk to us. Because what you're going to get back from the infinite within you is something to fear. Because that's law of attraction. You get what you believe, what you put out. And so if you're afraid, you're better off listening to someone who isn't. Because you're only going to get back more to fear. But if you are willing to move beyond the fear, to study the infinite goodness, and to supply yourself with ideas about infinite goodness that you can resonate with, it's very powerful. And I was listening to Abraham Hicks on Friday, and had to stop and transcribe a whole segment of the CD I was listening to because it came so powerfully that it was about what I'm talking about today. They said, the phrase, it's true, simply means somebody gave their attention to something long enough to achieve a vibrational alignment with it. And law of attraction gave them what they were thinking about. That's what it's true means. It's true means if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would at least add another phrase to the word it's true. And that other phrase would be, it's true and I want some of it. It's true and I want some of it. Because if it's true and you don't want any of it, it being true is not a good enough reason for you to give your attention to it. Play with it for a little while. Over the next 5 to 10 days, say, it's true, but I don't think I would like any of it. But it's really true, but I don't think I would like any of that. It's going to be quite shocking to you how many things you give your attention to that you don't want to activate in your vibration because it's true. We're inviting you today to find a new criteria, a criteria that the source within you has found long ago. The criteria to give your attention to something is, does this thing that I'm holding as my object of attention resonate with the true core of my being? In other words, does it feel good when I think about it? The thing that I'm focused upon, is it in such vibrational sync with the source within me that when I focus on it, I'm wide open to the energy that creates worlds, allowing the cells of my body to accurately communicate with one another, bringing me thriving, resonance, and well-being? That's the sort of truth we would encourage you to look for. The truth, the only truth of pure positive energy that ripples through your being when you find alignment with the source within you. That's truth. That's truth that will serve you. That's the truth that will refuel you. That's truth that will rebalance you. That's truth that will give you clarity. As Ernest said in the reading that David did earlier, sense the immediate presence of life. That's the feeling rippling through you that you recognize as true. That's when you get the goosebumps. That's when, for me, it's when tears come to my eyes and I feel my third eye activate and I know that tingling. Some other people feel their crown chakra activate or something within them move. They feel warmth in their heart. We all have a different signal for truth. We have to learn our own way of feeling that experience of yes, yes, this is true for me. This is what's true for me. And I constantly quote one of my very favorite Ernest Holmes quotes where he said, loose the boundaries of your sense of self and let in more spiritual territory. Loose the boundaries. And as I was meditating on this subject and I thought of that quote, all of a sudden I remembered a vague idea from history and I wasn't able to confirm or deny it, so maybe I made it up, but it's a cool idea, so let's go with it. That at some point in time in history, somebody said that you can have the land you can walk in a day. That it was a homestead thing somewhere in the world. You can have the land you could, oh, somebody else has heard it, that's nice to hear. You can have the land you can walk in a day. And I thought, whoa, would that loose the boundaries? You know, if you could own what you could walk in a day. And I thought about the landscape that we walk in our minds every day with the thoughts that we have. And most people, they say most people have 95% of the same thoughts today that they had yesterday. And so we walk around in circles on the same land in our mind day after day after day. But what if you knew that you could have everything that you could walk in a day? Would you walk in a circle in the same old stale place, or would you seek what was more beautiful? Would you go to the waterfall? Would you climb the hill? Would you experience the river or the ocean shore or the creek? What would you look for if you knew you could own everything that you could walk in a day? That idea really moved me because that's the truth of what we have, the power that we have to focus. We can choose to walk new ideas any day. And being committed to reading 365 Science of Mind this year is allowing me to walk beautiful ideas every day of the year and to explore a new territory and to feel the empowerment of seeing something beautiful, feeling something brilliant, sensing something new, allowing that truth within myself to express more fully and powerfully, to have that experience within me so that I can believe other men's revelations, but I can be sure of my own. And as I immerse myself in Ernest's beautiful thoughts, he had such a powerful connection to that divine nature of the truth of his being, and he did it every day. He sat with the intention of loosing the boundaries and letting in more spiritual territory, and he encourages us to sit and allow ourselves to stretch our minds, to believe in a greater good, to see a more beautiful world, to keep our eyes focused on the vision of possibility. He would have loved, it's true only because someone gave their attention to it. Do you want it? Are you going to focus on it simply because it's true? Or are you going to focus on the truth of all being, on the omnipresence of God, to explore that divine? And you cannot exhaust the infinite. The divine is within us and it is endlessly available. It is always there, but we have to ask. It is governed by free will. We do not get forced to see a bigger vision. We have to open ourselves to ask, and ask believing the knowing is within us, and it always answers. There is such a powerful thought that we can explore something new today. We can explore something new and more beautiful every single day. The rest of the Eric Butterworth quote that I found on the internet after that wonderful woman told me the beginning of it, the rest of it, he said, faith is really your consent to let your own uniqueness unfold. And he went on to say, and to let that which is attracted by your uniqueness manifest in your life. Are you willing to see a bigger picture of who you are? Are you willing to trust that what unfolds... Yes. The ongoing part of it is, and to let that which is attracted by your uniqueness manifest in your life. Your life is completely your own. There has never been another one like you, and there never will be. What you do with a love in your heart matters. Those are quotes from Louise Hay, from where I started. Because when I walked in and I heard her say that, I knew that that was the truth. There was that within me that just leaped up and said yes. So what do you give your consent to? What do you say yes to? What part of your uniqueness are you allowing to express more fully? Your creativity, your intelligence, your love, your power, your beauty, your joy. What aspect of you are you willing to let out a little more fully? What aspect of the beauty of life are you willing to explore? That's my question. And my personal quest. Yes, I'm willing to say yes. How willing am I? I am willing to say yes. And so it is.
Oh, it is.